Bless you, child.
Nothing to hear you.
Unconsciously, the statement you just made gives me, as it were, the text of my talk this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The remuneration isn't sufficient.
That's the cry these days.
This particularly, I think, can apply to the work of the Spirit. In the eyes of many people, unfortunately, in your world, they assess the values of the things that are done by the power of the Spirit, oftentimes in a material way. They look to the Spirit quite oftentimes to assist them, to help them in a material sense. And the remuneration that they expect of their efforts in doing the work of the Spirit, which is freely given, oftentimes from the point of view, at least of some, is insufficient to justify their efforts. By this, I suggest there are those in your world who are blessed with the gifts of the Spirit, which are, as I've already said, freely given, that they might be used for the upward trend of the material, and yet at the same time, many are they in your world who do not feel that they are being recompensed sufficiently to make the effort to utilize those gifts for the benefit of humanity. They see things oftentimes in a material sense, wondering perhaps if it's going to be worth the effort, if going here or going there is going to offer sufficient remuneration material for them to continue to do the work of the Spirit by which they are blessed.
Yes.
You know, my child, we who come to you from this side do everything in our power to assist, but we are not in a position of times to do many of the things that of times is expected of us materially. Mediumship, as you term it, oftentimes means that one must give and give and give of self. One must indeed lose oneself to find one's true self. One must not expect in the development of the spiritual faculties that the path shall be easy and straight. Oftentimes we hear from individuals in your world who to some extent have developed the gifts of the Spirit and are anxious oftentimes to use those gifts to help humanity, to uplift, to inspire, to guide, to comfort, to heal. And yet oftentimes we hear the cry of the individual medium that they're not being remunerated sufficiently. They cannot manage or they cannot cope, or things are too difficult. And oftentimes, individuals who have been blessed with the gifts of the Spirit become disheartened, disillusioned, and yet not with the things of the Spirit as such, but with the material conditions of times in which they find themselves. Yes, child.
Of course, the present conditions tend to make people money conscious. Not that I am. I've never done it for money. But you can understand it.
Child, the laborer is worthy of his hire. But the point is, child, I am reminded of times of the Christ and the great teachers and the prophets of old who came into your world with nothing and who were enabled by the power of the Spirit, to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit, to comfort, to heal, and to uplift many, many a soul out of the mire in which they found themselves. But they did not expect, neither did they find, the path easy. They were maligned and persecuted, and yet the gifts of the Spirit made themselves more and more apparent because of the resonance, because of the realization of the individual instrument that their work was greater than themselves, that they were not placed in a material world for self, but they had to lose themselves in love, had to lose themselves in service to find that peace which your world cannot give.
Yes.
I do not come to say anything which would cause, I hope, anyone to feel that they were being chastised, but rather that those who may listen to my voice and who are on the fringe of service, that they will understand that though we ourselves may do everything in our power to assist, we cannot necessarily always make possible the path to be easy. Those who would tread the path of the Spirit must remember that because of the knowledge and the experience and the enlightenment that has been given, because if one is to be a good instrument of the Spirit, one must therefore have one's eyes open to the things that are of the Spirit, and one must manifest those things in the darkness of your world, and in consequence, the magnification of the evils of your world will seem at times to oppress even more, and make things at times even more difficult to contend with. It is the old story, my child. Those who would see clearly the things that are truly of the Spirit, that they must in themselves be aware and conscious of the realities of these things which are truly of God, and must in consequence feel the limitations of the flesh. People do not seem to appreciate or realize or understand that it must become increasingly more difficult to do the things of the Spirit and be in a sense at peace with your world. You know it is not easy, perhaps, to fully understand that which one wishes to convey, because we are speaking in the way of the Spirit. We are endeavoring in the way of the Spirit. And we are endeavoring that you should become more and more conscious of this power which manifests itself through you and others like unto you. And in so doing, material things sometimes must seem to be augmented, sometimes must seem to be even more trying and more difficult. And yet, we do not fail you. There are times when we have heard such as yourself, calling out, as it were, from the inner self, what shall I do? How shall I accomplish this or overcome this that has befallen me? Sometimes the burden is heavy and one is overladen, and yet the strength of the Spirit makes all things possible, gives you an inner realization that all these things that sometimes oppress and depress must, by their very nature, pass away. As the time goes by, so you yourself become more and more aware and conscious of the power of the Spirit and what it can do and what it can achieve. And although we oft times take from you and others like unto you that load which they bear, yet even so, it is necessary at times that one should be tried, especially in the earlier years of one's work. You are tested and not found wanting. People do not seem to realize, many are they in your world who do not seem to realize, that the path of the Spirit in the material world such as yours becomes and must become increasingly difficult for the many pressures that are put upon you. Mm-hmm. And yet, in spite of these things, the work goes on. I know you at times have felt sad and heavy laden, but you have always come through.
I think with age, everything's more of an effort.
Yes, child, this must be, because although we can do much, there are many things that we cannot achieve or cannot do. When the machinery of the body begins to wear out, we may be replenished, we may strengthen, and in some instances we are able to bring about a revival of the vitality that once was so vibrant and so active, but these are oftentimes temporary measures.
I do want to say, though, that when I stand up to take service, I haven't any consciousness of disability at all.
Well, surely, child, it must be, obviously, because temporarily, at least, you are lifted out almost of the body, and more ever conscious of the spirit and the power thereof, and this revitalizes and takes you, as it were, temporarily out of the house of the physical into the realization of the mental and the spiritual, which is the power that is generated by us with and through you. You are an instrument and have been for many a year, and we have been greatly blessed by you, by having the agency by whereby we could reach many a soul, and many others, I said before, who've been helped and guided and uplifted. You have done a great work, though you may not ever be conscious of it while yet in the flesh, but we are conscious of it. We know what has been achieved, what has been done, in spite of the odds and the difficulties and the problems, and you have never really ever wanted, and neither shall you. You will always have sufficient. There will be times, no doubt, as there have been in the past, where you have been a little concerned about material things, but somehow the power of the Spirit has carried you on. You do not lack, child, you do not want. But, of course, we must face the realization that the time may be approaching when you have to ease up, when you have to do that much less. And yet that does not mean to say that you will not still continue. Of course, this you shall do, but many a long journey, must I regret to say, be given a second thought. I do not think that it would be wise for you to go too far afield. I think you must concentrate your efforts so that you work more closely to your own environment. I'm not suggesting by this that you're going to be ill or that you're going to be in a position that you cannot take journeys, but I do feel that the time is approaching when you yourself, from the physical point of view, will find some journeys that you have taken in the past a little too much and too exhausting. And although perhaps I should not say about remuneration, I know you do not classify that as an important factor, but oftentimes the efforts that you have made, although many have been helped, at the same time, if your strength is to be maintained and if you are to continue the work as we intend that you shall, you cannot overexert yourself, and at the same time you must concentrate your energies in the places where you can serve and do well the work, and do not take too much from you, and also there is enough remuneration to assist you in the material sense.
I had a nice compliment paid me at Ipswich the other day.
Yes, Charlie.
The gentleman on the committee said, don't get too old too soon, Daisy, so that you can come a long time.
Yes, child. You see, what I'm trying to tell you, child, is this. I do not object. Indeed, I appreciate your efforts in going distances, providing you do not do too much in one day. Mm. In the winter months, if you go at a distance and you stay for several days and can partake of some rest and come back in comfort in the daylight, that is good.
Oh, I generally can't be that comfortable.
Well, I ask you because I want you to help us, to help yourself, to protect yourself.
Yes.
You are living in a dangerous age. And as one gets older, the physical body, though it can still, and indeed does, from your point of view and ours, work pretty well. Nevertheless, any undue stress or strain, unnecessary stress or strain, should be avoided, child.
Yes, I understand that, dear. I want to ask you something.
Yes, child.
What is the point? I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, I hope you understand that. What is the point of free will when the masses of people in the world use it wrongfully and don't bring good out of it?
Well, child, every human being has free will to choose for themselves. But one must never forget that this free will, in many respects, must be affected by the free will of others. In other words, the individual may decide that they wish to do whatever it is they wish to do, and they are a free agent. But of course, in your world, every human being, to some extent, must be and is indeed affected by another. You are the product, of course, of innumerable thoughts that have emanated in the past and in the present from many souls. As a child, you are under the influence of your elders, your relations, your friends, your teachers. And so through life, every human being is, in a sense, a complexity of innumerable peoples. No human being can live to himself. Or indeed, when we talk about an individual, although it is true that one may develop one's own personality and individuality and become something of an individual person or character, really you are the product of innumerable thoughts that have been placed within yourself by others, by your ancestors, even from the purely physical point of view, and from the mental and the spiritual point of view, you are affected by all manner and kind of thoughts that have emanated from innumerable peoples that one has been associated with, and also the power of the spirit that manifests itself within and around and about one. You are receiving, indeed most people, if not all people, unconsciously maybe, are receiving innumerable thought forces from entities, from souls of varying type and degree, of evolution. Child, all life is one, good and bad, as you say. There is, where do you think, child, the origins of God and the devil came from? Man created over a period of time all manner and kind of deity, all manner and kind of individual gods and so on. You are the product, and indeed all humanity is the product of untold millions upon billions of thought forces and influences. Man felt in the early centuries that he had to create a super being. And he has been called many things by many names, many groups, many societies, many religious organizations and bodies have come into being. Some have disappeared with the passing of time. Man has always felt there must be some supreme force outside himself, which of course is so. But man had to discover, or thought that he could discover, his own God, according to his outlook and his attitudes, according to his background or his lack of background and the influences that were brought to bear upon him. We all know of the supreme force of all life, which we may call Jehovah, we may call God, we may call Buddha, indeed we may call this power, this force, this vitality, this life-giving energy. Call it what you will, by any name, it is still the same power that generates all through human life and all through nature itself. Everything that is born lives in some form, may not necessarily always be the form which one has become accustomed in a certain period of one's lifetime.
What started all this thought on my part was the trend of the world generally. Man doesn't want to know, does he?
Of course man doesn't want to know. In many instances, man has become so immersed in material things, He is so affected by material thoughts and conditions. These pressures that are placed upon the individual are such that at times it is like trying to pierce a heavy, thick fog. You have been blessed to perceive in part some of the things of the spirit, as indeed of others. But the mass of humanity is still immersed in material thought, which holds him firmly down, and which makes life intolerable, not only for himself, but for others. Even more so, perhaps, for others who perceive the things of the spirit. The more spiritually aware and inclined one becomes, the more difficult, as I've already said, it must be to adjust yourself and to live indeed happily in a world such as yours. Man is becoming more and more intolerant. There is more hatred, malice, and there is much more that is now being made manifest in your world that is of the lower order, the lower attitude of thought and vibration, where it is created its own hell. But the individual can create for himself his own heaven. Mm-hmm. Even those who have been incarcerated, those who have been placed in the darkness away from the material world, though for them it is a great tragedy, and a tragedy for those near and dear to them, yet oft time in the darkness and the confine of a cell has a man found the true meaning of life, and the power of the spirit has sustained him. Believe me, my child, it is only oft times through tragedy, it is oft times only through adversity, it is sometimes only through the things which cause great havoc and concern that we begin to perceive the reality of the things that are everlasting. Those who are sorely tried, my child, receive the greatest joys and benefits when their eyes become open to the realities and they lose in consequence the material concepts of life.
It's a slow progress, though, isn't it?
Child, time, this is nothing. Time, in a sense, is immaterial. You and others like unto you have perceived in some measure the power that is generated by the Holy Spirit, and in some respects you have done much to guide and uplift and inspire others. But you must not expect that you can ever hope to achieve many of the things that perhaps one might wish, for the simple reason that though you may feel as indeed in a sense you may well be like a grain of sand in the desert, yet nevertheless you are vital and important, and you have blessed many in consequence, and have they also taught others. You must not doubt nor fear or have any qualms about that which you have to do. You will be inspired and strengthened to do this work indefinitely, but the time will come, as it must, when you will be able to look back and see in a clearer way that which even at this moment in your earthly time may seem to some extent obscure. Do not be unduly distressed, because all around you you see the world in travail. Of course it is distressing. It distresses us. We feel helpless, and sometimes we feel that we have done and can do so little. And yet we know that every individual soul eventually will find the true path. It may not be in their earthly life, but it will surely come in their spiritual. Many are they who gather round your world who are in darkness. There are many who are earthbound, many who are blinded by the things of the material which they cannot easily give up. Although the vast majority of souls enter into a sphere of great love, great tranquility and great harmony, and are truly blessed and are helped, there are those also who, because of their attitudes of thought and the conditions in which they have lived, have made it for themselves even more difficult to perceive. Even when they are out of the body, they cling to the earth and are earthbound. There are those who dwell in the darkness of materialism and are in great need. We try to help them. Great bands of souls go to the lower spheres, and they endeavor to assist, to help and uplift, and to some extent we succeed. But every individual, though he may be shown a path, cannot be forced to tread it. He must make the effort. He himself must save himself. There is no judgment here. All men judge themselves. You know the old Orthodox idea that God would sit on a great throne and he would judge those who were before him. This is mythology. This is not truth. Every individual judges himself. Every individual has the power within himself to overcome, in spite of all the vast travesties and the vast confusions of your life. Each individual has the power to save himself. The way can be shown. The power can be given. The path may be difficult, but it can be trod. Where there is the individual's desire to overcome, to overthrow, there is the strength and the power given. We do not fail. We seem to fail. We seem sometimes to fail.
I don't think you do. It's me.
No, child. It is neither you nor I. It is not we who fail. It is the others who cannot see. The scales before their eyes are not lifted. And unless they themselves pierce the darkness and the gloom of their materialism, they cannot perceive the light of the truth. You can only sow the seeds, but they must water the plants. They must nurture the plants, and they must care for it. And though a lot of the seeds, as I've oftentimes said, fall on the stony ground, yet many are they that fall on blessed ground and do bear good fruit. I am indeed overjoyed when we have an opportunity to converse together in this fashion, and I would not have you for one second of your earthly time allow yourself to be cast down.
Yeah.
Keep up the power of the spirit that is manifest around and about you, and lift thine eyes up to the heavens of the spirit, from which all good comes. You are indeed truly blessed, child, and your work shall prosper and continue. Though, as I've said, we may decide, as indeed you yourself will come to the conclusion, it is better perhaps not to do too much. It is better perhaps, as time passes, to curtail some of the activities, that you may be strengthened to do that which you have to do, and which can indeed be a blessing not only to yourself but in innumerable peoples. I do not want you to overtax yourself, child.
No, I don't feel so happy where I live as I did.
Well, child, I know that this to some extent must cause you some anguish, but and yet in many respects you are blessed in that sense that you have a home and an atmosphere which is not unpleasant.
Okay.
I know that you lack, to some extent, a feeling of perhaps, I would not say security, because in a sense you are secure enough, but nevertheless, this condition which causes some distress, not only to you, but others who are in the same vicinity as yourself, this will change. It will not last for long.
Good. I'm not too worried, really, but I'm going to her, as you say.
How many years of earthly time is it? Time passes, sir.
What?
You and I.
Oh, a long time.
Many a year.
Mm.
I can look back and remember moments when you have been sad, heavy laden, worried, concerned, distressed. But somehow the power of the Spirit has sustained you, and you have helped us to help yourself. You know, sometimes we hear cries from people who expect so much of us, but you do not expect too much. At least you have always endeavored to help yourself, that you might be enabled to help us to help you.
But I think one should.
Which is a combination of love and trust and faith. And the power that is generated makes all things possible, child. Nothing is impossible where the power of the Spirit is concerned. But you know you cannot pour too much in too small a jug. Though you may be brimming to the full, we can only do so much. And as that jug becomes emptied, it can be replenished. And in a sense, you are a vessel. You are a vessel of God's will and purpose, and you are a blessed vessel, and you've given much sustenance and you save many by the thirst that they have by the words and the power of the Spirit. Many are they who thirst, and many are they who shall be replenished, and who shall be saved, and shall be given the strength to renew the struggle. Child, have no doubts that you've always been to us a good vessel. And though at times you have felt, as indeed you must feel, a little downcast, as you are given that extra impetus to go forward, extra strength, and something now and again comes into your life that gives you a realization even more than ever of the power of the Spirit, you shall not want. Truly you are a good and trusted servant of the Most High. We are but children, we are but servants as you are, and we do that which we have to do, and that which we have to do, child, is greater than ourselves. Always remember that we are but instruments of the will of the Most High to help to sustain his children in all their adversities and problems, that they may be given light in the darkness of your world. And that light, as Jesus said, shall go forward and shall indeed lead the way and lighten the path. No matter how hard that path is, the light of the Spirit makes all things possible. All you shall ask for is the strength to carry on, and that strength shall be given you. Even if sometimes it seems slow and leisurely, if sometimes you may feel as if you are stumbling, even so you are lifted up. And out of the darkness into the fuller light of the realization of these things, truly are you blessed, and others who come unto you and listen to the voice of the Spirit through you, truly they are given strength to continue in that world of yours, which unfortunately at times gives much cause for concern, but nevertheless the power of the Spirit overcomes all things, and that power that you have will make all things possible for yourself and for those around and about you, and those who shall be truly guided and uplifted by these words of the Spirit. My peace, my love, my blessing be with you and all who listen to my voice. Go forward in strength and know that you are not alone. Truly you are guided, guarded, helped and uplifted. Lift up your eyes to the things that truly are of the Spirit, and all things then shall become possible. Nothing is impossible to those who have the realization of these things which are eternal. Bless you, child.
God bless you. God bless you all.
Farewell.
Bye-bye, dear.
Bye-bye. Keep your chins up. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mickey, dear.
That's what I tell people, keep the chin up. Yeah. Other ones as well. Yeah. Bye-bye.
God bless.
See you, I hope soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear.
Bye-bye, love.